Good evening, everybody. Happy Friday. How is everybody feeling tonight?
Okay.
Good.
It's Friday.
No, more excitement.
Yeah,
it's Friday.
Woo!
Done. The crap is done. The filth is gone. And by filth, I mean clients, right?
Am I right? Am I right, fellas?
Who needs them?
This guy knows what I'm talking about.
Not me. I'm
Who's
bankrupt.
This guy?
Welcome, everybody. I am Andy Schossler.
And I am Gina Schwartz.
I'm Zane C. Weber.
And I'm your pal, old Maddie.
Back again, so because tonight. We can't get him out.
He just won't leave.
I have nowhere to live.
Now, Matt, sorry.
Sorry, I was going to say, is this your third time back?
It is my third time back.
Third time's the charm.
Maybe this show will actually be good.
Oh, the pain.
I believe that one of your quotes has made its way onto a t-shirt.
That's right. I am merchandiseable.
Yeah. Well, excellent. Excellent that we're all in good spirits tonight because we're going to be drinking some wine.
Indeed.
I don't need to be in a good spirit.
Our good friends at the wine gallery have sent us an Italian wine, a Capara and Siciliani Gaglioppo.
Wow, that was really nice.
That was musical.
Yeah.
It is from Calabria.
Ooh.
In Italia.
Or Calabria, if you're Australian.
Calabria.
And that, of course, is the toe of the boot of Italy.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Mm. You know your geography. I learned so
I
much
do.
From
I
you.
I do. I also read in advance.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
I
prefer you thinking that I knew that already.
Oh, Andy, you're so smart.
Oh, thank you. It's not International Women's Day this week, so I can flaunt all my male privilege like a peacock. Can
well,
I
just luckily for you, Andy, every day is International Women's Day for me. So,
duh. I'm expecting like the sitcom studio audience. So it's like, oh.
Do we have a laugh track?
There you go.
The power.
I don't have a laugh track. Oh no, I do.
There you go. Yeah. Do that after anything I say. Okay.
Well, our good friends at the Wine Gallery, who you can reach at thewinegallery.com.au,
mm-hmm.
and take the palate quiz, sign up for the monthly wine club. They will subscribe you to 3 bottles a month. That's pretty modest. Plug in our code glass of wine with an H, at checkout for $25 off. If you are so bold, grab a fourth bottle and they'll deliver you the 4 for free.
Best deal ever.
Amazing. Mm.
Extra wine, no delivery fee.
Yep.
They also do a fun personality quiz and it reads your soul and it knows what your soul is yearning to drink to escape from this dark, dark world.
Apparently, yes. I am very acid favoring.
So
what
am
does that
I.
Mean?
Does that mean that I'm basic? Does that mean that I'm alcoholic?
No, you're the opposite of basic.
Yeah, I took it as us being cynical and bitter.
that's like a jaded
private detective.
That's right, and we deserve to be punished with a little bit of a drop of acid in the eyes. Just
maybe this one will kill me.
He is hoping.
Just to keep us in place. So has everybody had a
Oh, I haven't. I've been too distracted by your caramel words.
Oh, thank you very much for being so complimentary.
It's very sharp smelling.
It is.
Yeah.
I had a little taste and it's sharp tasting, but in a good way.
It stings the nostrils.
Oh, okay.
I'm unfamiliar with the grape, the Gaglioppo grape.
Say it again.
Gaglioppo.
Beautiful.
Everybody can sing it.
I really don't want to attempt it right now. I'll say it later.
I'm going to do it without reading. Is it Gaglioppo?
Gaglioppo.
Gaglioppo.
Yes, the hand really does accentuate the word.
Yes.
Gaglioppo.
We have good relations with our Italian friends on this show, so really we cannot say it incorrectly.
I think we've only insulted Indeed. Them, haven't we?
I will say, shout out to all our Italian Instagram followers. We have a lot of Italian Instagram
they
followers.
They love us. Yeah.
And it's we love you and your wine. And
we
your
do.
Beautiful
food. And,
there's so many, like, we've gotten a lot of Italian wines that have been amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, like Italian food, Italian people, and their wine. Amazing.
Hear, hear.
I mean, I can just imagine every day on an Italian vineyard is just a tourism ad. Like,
yeah,
it's just beautiful every day.
Yeah. And it's always sunny. Like, I never see it raining in my head.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
That's a really interesting tasting wine.
What are you tasting?
I don't want to say citrus, but something tangy. Like,
yeah, that's maybe, what it is, tangy.
Maybe persimmon?
You should, have gone with your instincts because... Cheers to diversity. This classic Calabrian red offers fruits like sour red cherry, pomegranate and rhubarb mixed in orange peel.
Absolutely.
Orange peel and white pepper.
Pomegranate and some orange.
White pepper. Isn't that exotic?
Mm-hmm. It's very, I like this. It's very tasty.
It's a lot on the first drink.
Yeah.
But then you immediately get accustomed to it. And I can't imagine sailing at any other sea.
You know what I love about the Wine Gallery wines? So they send us so many different things, but nothing really tastes the same.
Correct.
There's always something different about them. And we had a wine last week that was very smooth and I really liked that. But now I like this for a very different reason. Like, it's a lot harsher and sharper, but it's not harsh like a slap across the face. It's like harsh.
It's not sharp. I think it's not harsh. Like, it's very easy to drink, but it's tangy.
It does have that sour kick to it.
Okay, it's more of a strong flavor.
Yes, yeah.
Strong
absolutely.
Is a better word.
And it smells more, I guess, aggressive than it tastes.
Yeah.
I taste orange.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I imagined like a liquid mandarin.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right.
That's nice. Yeah. That's a very good description.
So last week's was quite sweet. This one is, I wouldn't say, like it. I'm not getting any sweetness out of it at all.
No.
But it's very pleasant.
It's all
very
tang.
Very pleasant.
So shall we play the game?
Okay.
The
food pairing game.
I don't know for this one.
Have a guess. It's.
Is
you
it?
Really can't go wrong. If you keep in mind geography, you cannot fail.
Pasta.
Spot on.
Okay, good, great. Yeah.
I imagine it would go well with like a very like tomato-y pasta.
Yep, exactly right.
Yeah.
Now, I warn you, Andy. Not only am I a subscriber to the Wine Gallery and I've been honing my skills for this day.
Oh, yes.
But I'm a religious watcher of Frasier.
Oh, my goodness.
So I can detect the honey notes of a particular white wine.
So what do you think? What are you eating with this, though?
Why would you ask me that?
Because I'm putting you to the test.
Right. Apart from pasta dishes and tomato-based dishes, because that's easy.
Mm. I know.
The Italians are going to, you know, have anything with that.
Yeah, fair. Because it's delicious.
So what else might you think would be?
I mean, it's kind of a cop-out for wine, but I think something cheesy and buttery.
What about desserts? What about like a cheesecake or a cakey thing?
That might be nice. Mm. Yeah.
Anyone else? No.
There are no dessert recommendations here, but a salty halloumi is on the recommendation.
That would be pretty good.
Great with this, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. A salty halloumi with some roasted Mediterranean veg.
A halloumi salad would be great with this.
Very fresh with this, absolutely. Yeah.
And roasted birds.
Yeah.
Roasted pigeon?
Birds. Chicken, turkey, pigeon,
crow.
Anything you can find at your doorstep.
Parrot.
Don't so eat many parrots. Pigeons. They're intelligent.
Budgie. No.
They're too small.
They're nice snack size.
Well, I'm going to commit some casual sacrilege. I would have a cannoli with this wine.
You would have something sweet with this?
Oh, cannoli.
Yeah,
I
would.
Oh
yeah,
my
with an
God.
Old movie and this like strong wine to kind of contrast the sweetness.
Okay.
I'd have a great time.
Yeah,
I think like a baked cheesecake in this wine would be great.
That's what
as well.
I was thinking.
Yeah, kind of lean into that
sweet,
creamy,
yeah,
creamy but still tart.
Yeah,
and then top it off with this. Like, I think that'd be really nice garnish. Yeah.
So I think cream would ruin this. Oh, I think that wouldn't sit very well in my
mouth. Not a lot of cream, just a little sprinkle.
Well, how many episodes of Frasier have you watched, Andy?
enough to quote it a little bit.
So where are we
enough
drinking?
To know not to open a restaurant with my brother.
Where are we drinking this wine, lads?
So this one is super strong for me. And it's not something that I would usually, somewhere that I would usually be, but this is like a rustic one-room shack that was built many decades ago that I've just kind of found and I've just kind of set up outside overlooking like rolling hills or something, and it's bright, sunny kind of lunch, and yeah, salad and this. And I think I'm just hiding from the world.
The tranquil hermit's wine.
Yeah.
I love it.
But, yeah. But like classy, like the abode is very bad. And there's no luxury there at all.
And you've kind of gone insane.
Yeah.
But not to you.
But like I have most insanity. A salad and this bottle of wine, and that is all I need in the world.
I dig it. There was a gentleman in Don Quixote who literally loses his mind, and he lives in the woods. This is what I imagine he would be drinking. Yeah, yeah. I dig it.
Nice.
It's funny you should say solitude, because I want to have driven up to a peninsula or some sort of cliff or something.
Ooh.
And I've, as much as I hate it, I've got the rug out and I'm having a picnic and just drinking. Oh.
Damn those picnics.
Is it a solitary picnic?
Because
that'd be weird.
I want to be up high watching the waves crash and feeling that salty air. Mm-hmm.
I feel
on my face with this.
That sounds really nice.
You'd have a lot stinging your nostrils there. You got the wine, you got the sea. Give your nostrils a chance. That's
right. If only it's windy enough, I can get some nice pine needles or something slapping me very gently in the cheeks.
Why are you drinking this, Maddie?
Well, I'm outdoors. So I imagine this. So the private detective cliche is, you know, standing under a lamppost, watching his mark with a glass of scotch in his hand, cynically talking about the world. I imagine I'm a gentleman's private detective.
Okay.
You know, I'm for the high society folk, and I've got
your
this wine.
Your high class.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm standing under that golden lamppost with this wine in my hand. That's where I see it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not raining though, because I would ruin the wine.
I think for me, I've had a big day, but it's been a good day. So you know when you're busy, but it's satisfying.
Okay.
And then
so you have that sense of achievement.
Yes, but you're exhausted. And then for some reason, I'm in a hotel. I don't know why.
I mean, do you need a reason?
No, not at all.
How many stars is this hotel?
It's pretty good, but not the best.
Ooh,
you know
I like
what I mean?
It. Like four stars?
Yeah, like it's affordable greatness. You know what I mean? Yeah,
four stars is great because everyone's trying to get up to five stars. So they're working extra hard.
Yeah. And so I get back to my hotel and I'm just tired. And I'm like, you know what would be amazing? A bath. And I put the bubbles in and like Epsom salt. So I just like it's really like that soft kind of water. And this is gift wine for me. Like
okay.
This is something I wouldn't choose for myself and someone's got it for me. Maybe it's my birthday. Maybe that's what it is. And I'm drinking this wine. I'm like, wow, this is really good in my bath and I feel good. And then I get out of my bath and you know how the bathrobes are warm? Oh, I'm in a warm bathrobe and I'm just sitting on the bed just about to fall asleep and I'm drinking this wine.
Glorious. It's like wearing a hug and then you're drinking a hug.
I know. Yeah, exactly. That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
So what we're getting is this is not a party wine. This is enjoy. Yeah.
And for the soul. For the soul.
For the soul.
It's a solitary soul wine.
Solitary soul wine.
Yeah. I like that.
What I really liked about yours, Gina, is I totally and I think you're the kind of person who would just announce it's their birthday suddenly.
I am that kind of person. Yeah.
To hell with convention. It's my birthday. I will chuck this from the bottle if I want.
Well, I'm kind of the person who I hate birthday celebrations or parties because for me they're so disappointing. So here's a TMI. Last year I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to have a birthday thing. And it was just the worst. Like I invited people, they didn't show up. I actually had D&D that same day with close friends of mine and they didn't come.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah.
Time to get new friends.
And they didn't. And like they weren't like, I'm working or I've got a 6 a.m. start. They were just like, see ya.
They just didn't come.
They didn't come.
That's one of old Maddie's testaments. All right.
What are the testaments?
Oh, I'm not going to list them all here.
Okay. What's this specific one?
You always show up to D&D. You move mountains.
No. They showed up to D&D, but then the party was after D&D. And it wasn't even a party. It was just like I just want a small get together with friends.
Oh, my God.
And
rude.
Yeah.
I've never been disappointed on my birthday.
Okay, rub it in.
And I have a very important secret.
What?
Do you want to know what it is?
Is it something like fuck everyone?
Oh, I didn't realize that was on the table.
Not literally.
Why not? That sounds like a perfectly fine birthday celebration.
I think of what I want to do. I invite the people I want there and I pay for it.
Okay, I'm 22 with a casual job. Like,
birthdays don't have to be expensive. You find something that fits your budget. But I pay for it. That way nobody is on the hook for anything. Mm. Nobody has any excuse for not being there and for not enjoying themselves.
And if you're Zane.
And it always works well.
You don't have a birthday. Birthdays don't exist. I just appeared.
You just don't age.
Well, since you said that to me, Zane, I thought maybe I'll just get rid of my birthday off Facebook so I'm not disappointed anymore. Like no one will remember my birthday except for my family and those who are closest to me. And
sometimes
then everyone else
not
can get
even
fucked.
They remember my birthday.
God.
Oh dear.
That's
don't
shit.
Worry. It's been a few years that I've been rubbing it out of people's memories.
Oh, okay.
Not everybody's memory.
Not everyone's Andy.
Andy,
but I'm not the
Andy,
sort of
do
person.
You know?
Of course I know.
Oh my God.
We'll chat later.
Do you know his age?
Yes, of course.
Oh my God. Okay, here's a TMI. It's not a TMI.
And so the gods descended from Olympus.
I knew Zane before he was this iteration of Zane.
It's true.
Wow.
So this is, oh my
this
God.
Is, what this iteration is, were you before?
Three or four previous to this one.
Yeah. This is very much Neo Zane as far as I know.
Well, Neo Zane?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Nuevo he doesn't Zane. Tell anyone his age, nor does he tell anyone his birthday. So you...
I'm not going to betray him.
This makes a lot of
sense.
That's why Andy knows.
My God. I should have seen this coming because before Zeus was the all-father of Olympus, he was the cup boy for Cronus.
When you said Zeus, for some reason, I pictured Seuss, as in Dr. Seuss. And I was like, what do you mean?
Also a god.
Fair.
Now all I see is Kelsey Grammer. with a cat in the hat reading Dr. Seuss.
Fair. Good
oh
call.
My. This podcast has gone places.
Anyway.
We have had our wine. We have been very liberal with the descriptive notes.
We've been on some tangents.
It is delicious. I highly recommend this one.
Yeah.
This is a totally different kind of wine than I've ever like really liked before. It's very interesting.
Yep. I'm not familiar with this grape at all, but I look forward to having more of it.
I think I'll put this on my regular shipment.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh. Yeah.
I imagine they come by ship.
At some point. A ship of the air, right? An air ship.
Absolutely now, yeah.
Like in Fifth Element. Anyone?
Or... like at the airport.
One of my favorite films is Bottle Shock. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
No.
Bottle Shock. It stars Alan Rickman and Chris Pine before he was.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. I should watch Chris it Pine. Then. Yeah.
It's a very good story about Chateau Montelena.
Okay.
And Bill Pullman plays the guy there, and he's trying this new technique, and it seems like the wine is ruined, but... everything.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
It's not.
So Alan Rickman plays Stephen Spurrier, who is an English wine snob in Paris.
I can't see him as that at all.
And he's of the opinion that only French wine is good, as all other French people are. And classic. Most of the world at the time in the 70s thought that French wine was the best.
Was the only wine.
So he has an American friend. In the film that comes in and says, look, if you really want to try some good wines, head out to California and see what they're doing there. So he does a tour, tries the wines there, quite likes them, organizes this blind test of Californian Napa Valley wines against French wines, and lo and behold, the Napa Valley wines win. As a part
spoilers.
Of that...
spoilers.
Is it like Rocky for wine?
This is history. This is 50 years ago. This
it's
happened.
Also this movie was released 10 years ago.
Yes. So one of the things they talk about there is... bottle shock, the phenomenon. If you're flying wine over, you want to rest it for a month or so after all the jittering around, for all the sediment to settle so you don't get any nastiness happening in the wine.
That's
the term
that
bottle shock.
Mm. That's cool.
So if you're flying it, don't drink it for a month.
Okay. Well, good thing mine comes by ship.
Well, there you go.
Now, Matthew, we've carried on
far longer than we ever have before. The wine may be responsible.
I don't know what you're talking about. But do you have something you want to unburden yourself with?
Oh, do I ever?
Oh, excellent.
If I don't unburden myself, I will go swimming and drown.
What?
I'm just.
That's how heavy this weight is on your shoulders.
My blood is lead right now. So let's get this out of with, because I've been carrying this for 10 years.
Oh, wow. It's a time.
Ever since Iron Man 2008, to be specific.
Really? How dare you? You've lost me. Gem.
I'm declaring war against superhero movies.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah. I've got a real problem with them.
Good. But yeah. I'm glad somebody said it, because I think they suck too.
Well, guess what? I have a general in my war.
Are you declaring it like retroactively? So all superhero movies ever are victim bad? to your vendetta, or is it just moving forward?
There's a distinct point. So it's a bit of both. Post Captain America 3 Civil War, I would say. And maybe a few before that, but that's my kind of hard line.
That was the real downturn.
That was the real downturn.
Before DC got involved is what I'm hearing.
A bit of that, yeah. So full disclosure, I hated Captain America Civil War. And frankly, I think I'm owed Captain America 3, because I really enjoyed Captain America 2.
Okay.
And I never got my sequel to Captain America 2. I just got the Avengers little game of tag and then... Captain America 3, kind of? Not really.
This is a very specific wine.
Yes.
And at least for me, you will have to explain the gripe, because I don't understand any of these films.
It's just a global thing. So the main thing I have with it is that it's a social obligation to enjoy superhero movies.
Okay.
So
is it?
It is.
Okay.
Because Hollywood says so. So it must be true.
So the movie Venom, before it came out, we were all kind of in universal agreement it was going to be bad. The trailer looked tripe.
Said who? Really? Was that a thing?
I didn't watch the trailer. I was like, oh, yeah, we'll see what they do.
Yeah.
I hadn't prejudged. I purposely didn't prejudge that movie. But go on.
But good movie.
Please, don't let me disprove your point preemptively.
I'm sure I could argue in a different context. But before that movie came out, everyone was kind of aware it was not going to be any good. But then it came out and it broke domestic box office records in the US. I was talking to people before they went to go see it in Australia, and they're like, yeah, I know the reviews aren't very good, but you know, it's a superhero movie. I'm going to go with my friends. We're going to go watch this movie.
Okay.
And they come out and it's like, it's no good. I hate that just because it has this brand on it, this comic book character, that we have to go see it. That it's just a guaranteed buy. And then people act all snobbish, like, I know what's wrong with Hollywood. I know why we're not getting any original movies. Like, we're only getting...
Is that what you're doing right now?
A little bit. But I watch Frasier.
I see. Yes. So Kelsey Grammer's what's wrong with Hollywood.
No. How dare you, sir?
Take it back.
He is a treasure.
But,
You interrupted Venom him and now he's lost his train of thought.
Okay. So I've never really been into superhero movies because they've never interested me. Like, what am I going to watch? A bunch of guys beating each other for the good guy to come out and win. Like,
and that's a good move. Its inherent structure is a big problem with it.
I guess for me, I'm like, what's in it for me? What do I see? I see no women. And if I do, they're half naked and they're useless and vulnerable.
You should watch Wonder Woman, where
I did actually like that.
In stark contrast to other superhero villains, where it's men beating up villains and doing stuff. In this one, it's a woman beating up villains and doing stuff.
Okay.
It's very different. Fair, it's radical. Okay. It's complete. I don't know how Hollywood got onto the idea, but my God, they really shifted some boundaries.
I think how they got onto the idea was like a lot of people yelling it at them for 20 years prior.
Well, like, again, I can't say much for superhero movies because I've only seen Iron Man 1. And I don't think I've never seen any Supermans. I've never seen anything Captain America or anything like that. And I actually only went to see Wonder Woman because the guy I was dating at the time, I really liked him. And he was like, I don't want to see a rom-com. And I was like, I don't want to see some shitty piece of crap art movie. And so we were like, Wonder Woman? I was like, it's got a woman. And then and so
many other films also have women.
I know, but the ones I wanted to see, he was like, I don't want to see it. So we went and saw Wonder Woman and it was actually quite good.
Cool.
Yeah.
There was a point to that. Yeah. I don't know where I was going.
I have
that
a rather sordid history with superhero movies because I used to be on a film podcast. So I
did
had
what?
To go see
what film? podcast?
Second Take podcast.
Oh, okay. I happened to be on Second Take. And actually, I did see, at the time of recording...
Wonder Woman.
Yesterday. No, Captain Marvel. Oh. Which is the latest one that came out.
How was that?
Well...
Don't give me spoilers.
At the time of release, I've already reviewed it. Because this will come out some date.
Some date after now.
A week before.
What year is that?
Yeah. But okay, can you give me a quick...
It was really bland.
Oh.
And most are.
Yeah. Most like this is a superhero movie about this superhero who is restricted only in the sense of there's some, you know, physical device on her. And once she takes that off, she's literally Superman. Okay. And can do anything. And it's really boring.
Yeah. There's that no sucks. Profound emotional journey for us to go on and for us to learn anything about ourselves.
And she doesn't learn anything.
Yeah, so my problem with superhero movies, because I had to watch them all, and there's a very distinct point.
Why did you have to all watch of them? All?
Because I had to review
all his friends
Sorry,
were
I
going.
I thought this was like a patriarchal thing. I was like, but
no,
why?
No, not at all. You had to.
I also went to see Captain Marvel because I was compelled by my membership on the show. Otherwise, I would not have been interested at all.
Yeah.
Okay. Carry on.
So there's a very distinct point in which superhero movies lost me and I'm just not interested anymore. And it was in Civil War.
Yes, thank
at
you.
The very end.
Don't tell me.
It's a goddamn game of Tiki. There's no stakes.
Just say spoilers. Tell me it's fun.
My problem is that Captain America did not kill Iron Man.
Right?
Yeah. Oh my God.
And that is the point.
Iron Man died?
No, he didn't die. That's my point.
He spared him and he shouldn't because Iron Man's the real villain of Marvel because he caused 8 of the like 10 villains he fights. Anyway, continue.
Really?
So my point is that movie displayed better than anything I could ever argue that they've stopped telling stories and they've started selling merchandise.
Yes.
And that's all that they're doing now.
And I finally remembered my train of thought. So people are like, oh, you know, I'm sick of all these remakes. I'm sick of all these sequels and I'm sick of comic book movies. But then every weekend, those are the movies they flock to. And great movies like Kubo and the Two Strings barely make their budget back, which was a new property. And we're living in an age where brand and commerce is winning over art in the film industry. Like film has always been a balance between art and commerce. And now we live in an age where commerce has dominated art. Like there's very little... The balance is completely in the favor of commerce because people go to see brands like superheroes.
So I would,
and
I
people
would,
complain, but they go and they indulge.
Yeah. I would argue contrary to that art hasn't been subverted by commerce. Films maybe, but the visual arts, it's simply moved. There is a lot of good material available online.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
On YouTube and streaming services,
And even famous people, you know, I watch a lot of film review shows like Nostalgia Critic and Red Letter Media, and there's a lot of production value that goes into those things.
Oh, absolutely. Like that's where most of my time's going.
I would also say that, branding, people do flock to that. That's absolutely a fact. But I would also say... It's a lot of people going, oh, we can't do weird new storylines because no one's going to like it. But when you see, I have no examples, but when you see the really good, like, oh my God, this is going to flop, and then it thrives, people go, oh my God. And then they still don't go with
decision,
that.
The decision is not that it's, they definitely think it's going to flop. The problem is that there is, it's a
uncertainty.
Gamble, whereas when they have all this data on how well this brand has performed before, they were like, okay, so if we produce this property in this manner, it has an 80% chance of succeeding, which is better than the 50-50 of, say, Hereditary.
In the 80s, Hollywood studios used to throw $10 or $20 million at about 10 projects every year. New directors would get a shot, new actors would get a shot, new scripts would get a shot. One of them would, you know, make phenomenal money and pay for all 10, and the other ones would flop. Yeah. They would still exist and they would still have fans, but they wouldn't be
a commercial
success.
Yeah.
But the studio on the whole would make their money back. In the 90s, they started making these huge blockbusters, right? Throwing $100 million at a project, $200 million.
Like what?
And that's got Titanic.
Not fair, but that worked out.
Yeah, The Matrix. It was huge. It,
I've never seen The Matrix.
Good. You're not missing out on much. It's not that great.
Okay.
But they started flinging more and more money towards these things. So the danger was that if they flopped,
yeah,
they would need equally big projects in equal number so that something happened. It just got bigger.
Yeah.
They just got projects more money dense so that there were fewer of them, each of them were bigger, and you know, one of them, if it was huge, it had to be huge, so it had to be heavily marketed, and they would make billions of dollars. Like I hate to think how much the Marvel franchise has taken in, but it's got to be in the billions. I mean, Star Wars.
Oh, well over the billions.
The Star Wars franchise.
They swim in billions.
Yeah, the Star Wars franchise sold for $4 billion, so I can't imagine how much money that
weird
has
thing
made.
About that is, no one noticed, this is another minor rant, is at the bottom of every article you'd say, Star Wars, also in the $4 billion. They just chucked Indiana Jones in there. Disney has Indiana Jones and no one knows about it.
Really?
We got to protect him.
Save him.
Get him out of there.
But also, like, it came into my head, like, some of the most loved movies. Like, if you think about Twilight. Back in the day.
I don't think you have a single fan right now, Gina.
No. Back in the day. Everyone loved it. It was the hugest thing. But look at the production value. You can literally see the strings when Edward like climbs up this tree. But how much money did it get? Films, so much money, right?
Films don't have to be perfect to be good.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing. People think they have to put billions and billions of dollars into a movie to make it good. No, what you need is actually good actors.
Good actors.
Good storyline. Yeah. That's all you need. Okay. And the rest can kind of filter in. But what they have is like mediocre actors who look like supermodels, and then also actors who don't have chemistry.
Right.
What's the point? If there's any sort of love story, maybe make sure that they like each other or that they look good on screen. Maybe that's like if you're going to make this movie $1 billion, maybe that's going to be a priority.
Exactly. Like back in the 50s, if you wanted to be a big star actor, you had to be able to sing. You had to be able to dance.
You had to be actually talented.
Yeah. Like Debbie Reynolds, she never knew how to dance before Singing in the Rain, but she had really great chemistry with Gene Kelly. So you better believe she learned how to dance.
Exactly.
And her feet were literally bleeding when she finished the Good Morning Dance.
Yeah. Of course.
And if your feet aren't bleeding, Robert Downey Jr., then you have no right being on that silver screen.
Exactly. I'll play Iron Man. No, I don't want Iron Man.
I don't think stars have it easy these days.
Oh, no.
I mean, nobody has it easy.
Some people have it easy.
We're not talking about Donald Trump or the Kylie Jenners, but that's a different story for another day. Okay, carry on.
The number of platforms that you have to make an appearance on and keep appearing on just to satisfy everybody's curiosity. Everybody's got their own little favorite thing. Well, I'm only on Twitter. I'm only on Facebook. So you have to spread yourself so thin between all of them just to keep yourself in the public eye, let alone start promoting your stuff.
It annoys me.
That Iron Man doesn't dance?
Yes.
A tap number. Is it so much to ask Hollywood?
Come on, Robert Downey Jr.
Do you think
Robert Downey Jr. is the one holding them back from a tap number?
Oh, no. I love Robert. He'll dance.
Seeing the extent he would go to in Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
And I think you didn't...
You didn't like Tropic Thunder?
I don't need to talk about
Tropic Thunder.
Why has this become a movie review podcast? Sorry.
I've only seen it once, and that was years ago, and someone was in blackface. That's enough to go.
That was Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, exactly.
I also agree that Tropic Thunder is not a great film, and it's
And it wasn't
overrated.
Funny. And I was young when I watched it, and I was like, this isn't funny.
It was hilarious.
It has Ben
Stiller. Is great. Ben Stiller is great.
A parody of Hollywood.
Yes. Tom Cruise is great in it. That film.
You've already got two wankers in there.
And you've lost me with Tom Cruise.
Exactly.
That film, I found a newfound respect for
Tom
Cruise. After Tropic Thunder, absolutely.
Nah.
That's a subject for another day.
Yeah, you're
We've
right.
touched on so many subjects here.
I'm not sure what to make of this.
What I will say on the Robert Downey Jr. point is the movie Chaplin, underrated. I liked it.
It was a very good movie.
Yeah, Chickity Check It. Kevin Kline as Douglas Fairbanks, great. And Douglas Fairbanks would do the Twilight Tree thing without strings.
Actually, speaking of absolutely nothing, have we seen the film trailer for Holmes and Watson?
Holmes and Watson.
No, not that one. It's one with the guy off Chicago.
The guy of Chicago.
George Clooney?
What?
Richard Gere?
No! Oh, but good guess. No. It's the husband of Renee Zellweger, and it's two comedians.
Jim Carrey?
No. One looks like Chaplin, and it's
Hitler.
What? Someone.
Oh, Andy.
Oh, I tried to explain this. I've forgotten the point. I think it was. Has anyone seen it? And what do we think of it? It's that guy. Oh my god. Okay, this is something that I don't like. The guy of Step Brothers that isn't Will Ferrell.
Oh, John C. Reilly. Oh. Yes. Stan and Ollie. Is that what you're thinking?
No. Stan and Ollie. Oh. Thank you. Right. Thank yeah. you. Yeah. I'm sorry. I hate Step Brothers.
I thought you meant Renee Zellweger's husband in real life, and I'm like, it is not that country singer guy.
No,
I guarantee.
No. Yeah. Okay. John C. Reilly and whoever he's with. Stan and Ollie.
Coogan. Steve Coogan.
Oh wow. Look at really? You
it
things.
Looks really good.
Yeah,
it's,
oh,
it's,
like
about Laurel and Hardy.
Yes, Steve Coogan as Stan Laurel.
Yeah.
I'm unsure of it.
I think it looks great.
Okay.
But what I will say is I think we're in very deep waters here. So I'll roll us back to shore and say, if you like superhero movies, more power to you. But if you're going to complain about like the commercialism of Hollywood and like the movies we're getting constantly, go see the independent movies. Go see the concepts that really interest you, that are unique. And then you will get more unique products, because then those tickets will sell, because
and
Hollywood is a business.
More.
Exactly.
Excellent. What a wonderful note to end on.
I
if
like
you
that.
Don't see yeah. independent theatre, you are trash.
And
Agreed.
No.
Agreed.
No. Huzzah. And lo, land ho, we're back to shore. Well done, everybody.
I love that. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Gina. Thank you, Zane.
Thank you.
And thank you, Wine Gallery. Ever-present.
Got it in there.
Sponsors. Check them out at thewinegallery.com.au. Plug in our code glass of wine with an H, for $25 off your first order. And if you add a fourth bottle, they'll ship it to you for free.
Amazing.
Every
and you can find all those details in our show notes or on our website. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Glass of wine.
Next week, believe it or not, we are drinking wine.
Oh my God.
What?
Stop it. What are we drinking?
We're drinking a rosé next week. We're drinking an Australian Barossa Valley rosé called from Spinifex.
It's like excellent. Me personified.
Are you from the Barossa Valley?
Sure.
Are you rosé?
Yeah. Are you?
I'm a redhead.
Is your name Spinifex?
That's my birth name.
Yeah. You heard it here first, folks.
Does it come by a self-discovery road trip? Because, you know, it's Australian. So if people learn something about themselves along the way while they're delivering my wine,
absolutely.
I'm down.
Yeah.
That's
also,
all the more delicious.
I like where that's going.
Here's a shout out to my dad who started watching. Love you. Make good decisions.
And by watching, you mean listening.
Yep.
So thank you very much, Gina's dad.
Thank you all.
The
Keep
real
drinking.
MVP.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.